Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
I will rise and go to my Father. Did you hear that? And usually the responsorial psalm is a verse taken out of the Psalms. But today it wasn't taken out of the Psalms, it was taken out of the Gospel. It's a quote of the prodigal son when he comes to his senses. And I always imagine him sleeping in the mud of a pig pen when he wakes up and says, I will rise out of this slop and I will go to my Father. And so we said that line over and over again. You know, sometimes people will tell me they don't like this gospel. I've heard that many times in my life. I don't like that gospel. And very often that's coming from someone who has a prodigal brother or prodigal sister or a prodigal parent or prodigal son who has dealt with their addiction and their difficulty and their squandering their inheritance over and over, and they find it hard to live this gospel, and they find it hard for this gospel to be practical. And let me tell y'all, it's not a practical gospel. It's not at all. And let me tell you, the other thing is we do violence to this gospel when we separate it, when we cut off the first two lost things. This is a gospel about three lost things. There's a lost sheep, there's a lost coin, and then there's a lost person. And we have three little vignettes that are told to us. And I don't think we have too many sheep farmers here. We don't have any shepherds, probably. We might have one, okay? But not too many of you have a lot of experience shepherding sheep in the desert. But the first is the setting is you're a sheep farmer, you got 100 sheep, they're in the desert, one gets lost, what do? Write me a scenario, okay? Well, you'd get an F at sheep farmer school if he said, I'd leave the 99 and go find the one, because it's not practical. It doesn't make sense. This gospel is about the value of the individual in God's eyes. It's about your value in God's eyes. So what does the shepherd do? He leaves the 99 that are safe. He goes to find the one. And what does he do when he finds the one? Again, kind of emphasizing the impracticality of the story. He doesn't, tap it on the butt and says, back to the pen. He picks it up, puts it on his shoulders, and starts carrying the sheep through the desert. And does he go back to the 99? Apparently not, if you paid attention to the story. He didn't go back to the 99. He went home. And what did he do? Called all his friends and neighbors and said, let's have a party. I found my sheep. And so that's story number one. And then we have story number two. And it's the woman who's got 10 coins. And these coins aren't just any coins. They're pennies. That would be a better way to translate coin. They're pennies. They're worth nothing. They're practically without value. And she loses one. And what does she do? She lights a lamp. That's a waste of money. She's already spent more than a penny looking for her penny. She sweeps the house. This inordinate amount of energy, lighting the lamp, sweeping the house, and lo and behold, she finds it. And what does she do? She has a party. She's going to spend a whole lot more than a penny on her party to celebrate the finding of her coin. And now those two stories just lead us into the story of the prodigal son, which is not a story giving practical experience or practical advice. I think the practical advice in this story would be to listen to the boy who says, Dad, I just want to be a servant. Just give me a job. That's all I could reasonably expect from you. And I think if you had this circumstance happen to you in real life, that would probably be the way to go. Give him a job, make sure he's safe, and let him prove himself for a while. But that's not what this story is about. This story is not practical advice on parenting. This is a story about what it means to be a child of God. This is a story about what it means to be a son or a daughter of our Father, who wants nothing more than to embrace and to forgive us. I will rise and go to my Father. I will rise and go to my Father. I find myself alienated. I find myself in doubt. I find myself mired down by my sin. What should we say? I will rise and go to my Father. The Father sees right into this Son. He knows whether he's humble. He knows whether he is truly changed, and he treats him appropriately. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost person. You know what? Last week, there was a section in the gospel, a line in the gospel that said, "No one can come to me without hating his own life." Y'all remember that? Okay. I promise you it was in there. If you didn't hear it, if you don't remember it, it was in the gospel last week. So we struggle a little bit with what does that mean? Well, we hate the life in the pig pen. We hate the life separated from God. We hate the fact that we're not home. And you know, we're all being drawn back to intimacy with God the Father. This hating of our life has to be contrasted with the command that we must love ourselves. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now let me ask you, as we think about this love and hate of our life, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Of what value do you place on that person looking back at you? How much value do you think God puts on you? See, you are his beloved child. And he sees so much more value in you than you probably even see in yourself. He's the good shepherd who would find that sheep and put it on his shoulders and carry and celebrate. See, we're that coin that he's looking for that doesn't look like it has a lot of value, but how he celebrates that one is found. You know, you look out, go out sometime at night, come and look at the moon and the sun and the stars, and you see all of the material creation, and they have no value compared to you, made in the image and likeness of God. That God has stamped his seal in you, that he has breathed his life into you. So this coin and the sheep and the prodigal son, that's us, and sometimes we undervalue ourselves. I will rise and go to my Father. What is it to gain the whole world and lose that value that God gives us? What did the prodigal son squander? He squandered his inheritance. He squandered his place in the family of God. He traded the infinite for the finite, and that was the story of him going off with his inheritance and squandering it on prostitutes and who knows what else, and waking up in the pig pen, trading that relationship with God for the golden calf. I just have to talk ever so briefly about the golden calf. You heard about the golden calf in the first reading today. To put that reading in context ever so briefly, Moses led the people, Israel, out of slavery in Egypt, through the Red Sea, into the desert. Now they've come to Mount Zion. Moses has done so much for these people. He has worked so hard for them, and now he's going to take a break. He's going to go up on the mountain and pray. He's going to go off on retreat, and he's going to leave them under his brother Aaron's stewardship for a few days. And so Moses goes up to pray, and what happens? Well, you heard the story. Aaron, probably at the grumbling of the people, says, let's take up a collection. They got up all the gold, they melted it down, they turned it into something shiny and beautiful and expensive. And they said, this is your God. This is your God. The golden calf. We have to remember the symbolism there. It's made of gold, money. Then the calf, youth. Youth and money, and that it's a bull. You know, most of the time when you have a bunch of cows, I don't know, we have any sheep farmers, don't have any cow farmers here either, ranchers, but maybe one or two. You don't keep a lot of bulls, do you? What do? You get rid of the bulls, you keep one. And the bull has a harem, you know? He has all of the cows to himself. And he's got this virility and this fertility, and he's got this power. And all of this is encapsulated in this false god that they worship. This shiny, beautiful, expensive youth and fertility. And boy, we don't have any problem worshiping those things, do we? No. Unfortunately, that's exactly the things that this young man went after. I'm not going to be under my father's house anymore. I just want the money. I want my own power. I want my own pleasure. I want my own. And he separates himself. And we call that separating yourself from God sin. And that's what sin is. Sin is a horrible reality. Unfortunately, in our world today, sin has kind of a good name. You've all seen it on the menu, haven't you? Sinfully delicious, decadent chocolate, whatever it might be. But sin isn't anything good. It's a horrible disfiguration of the relationship that you and I are supposed to have with God. So sin has a good name, and obedience and prudence and virtue, unfortunately, not so celebrated anymore. And that's the world. That is the excess. That is the idol that we're being enticed by so often. My brothers and sisters, I will rise and go to my Father. I will trust in the goodness of God. I will hear his voice and be led on the path of truth. So we come back to the story of the prodigal son, also sometimes called the story of the two brothers or the forgiving father. And you know, this young brother, he made a lot of bad decisions. He made a lot of bad choices, didn't he? You know, that's how we sanitize sin now. Oh, he just made a bad choice. No, he didn't. He committed mortal sin and he was dead. He was dead in the slop of death, lying separated from God, a lot worse than bad choices. But there, dead in mortal sin, what does he do? He has a moment of grace. And in that moment of grace, he says, I will what? I will rise and what? Go to my Father. And the father in the story, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and now the lost son, the father is waiting patiently. The father is on his guard tower, looking out down the road, waiting day after day after day for the son to come home. And again, this isn't necessarily a practical story about parenting. This is a practical story about being a child of God. And I will rise and go to my Father. And so he comes around the bend, and the dad runs out to him and gives him his gifts, the finest robe, a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, the robe of grace and a new life, the royal sign of his dignity with his ring, his shoes. His shoes were something that separated people that were citizens and landowners from people who were slaves and servants. Slaves and servants didn't have shoes, and the children did. And that was just the way the society worked in those days. So we have these gifts given to him. The lost son, a famous gospel. And again, I want to say it's not practical advice on parenting or being a brother or even a child dealing with someone who has lived a prodigal life. Rather, it is practical advice on how to live as a child of God. We have to come back to the story for just one more moment and look at the response of the older brother. How did I begin this homily today? By saying more than one person has come up to me and said, what? Father Mike, I don't like that gospel. I hope you all like it now. I hope you all like it. I hope you all recognize that this isn't telling you, this isn't trying to make you feel guilty about your feelings towards your brother or sister, parent or child who has some problem with living a prodigal life. Rather, this is telling us how we should recognize the great value that God sees in us. And of course, we want to pray for our prodigal friends and brothers and all of those things. And when someone does come home to God, when someone does repent, someone does have a transformation, what should our response be? Let's have a party. Let's celebrate. Let's truly rejoice in the mercy of God. And the older brother stood outside the party, and what happened? The father went out to greet him and says, come on in. Join the celebration. And every time this comes up, this reading comes up during Lent every year too, I believe. And I say to you all, did the older brother go into the party or not? Because it's left a question for us. And I think that's a question that we're supposed to answer in our own lives. So my brothers and sisters, I hope and pray you see in the story of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son, the generosity and the mercy of the Father, and that we can all equally love this beautiful gospel.